Today's passage is John 7, 40-52. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring them? Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to him before, and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." We made it to the end of John chapter 7, and this theme of division among the people in terms of who they perceive Jesus to be, continues to intensify. We've already seen that earlier in the chapter, and we get more of the same here. In the first paragraph, as mentioned, it is the people, the crowd, that was split. Some said, "This really is the prophet," referring to Deuteronomy 18, where Moses foretold of a prophet who would be great like him from among them. They were actually spot on, along with those who said it more straightforwardly, "This is the Christ." Yet others said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Doesn't scripture say that the Christ would come from Bethlehem like David did?" Those people recalled passages like Micah 5, which we read often around Christmas. Those passages that promised the Christ, the ruler of Israel, would come from Bethlehem. The people thought Jesus came from Galilee, which was partially true since he grew up there. However, they were blinded to the fact that Jesus did in fact come from Bethlehem. He was born there. It would have been possible to know that if they looked more into it, since genealogies and where somebody was born was very important at that time. But they didn't. And they presume wrongly that Jesus did not come from Bethlehem. Like you read a couple days ago with the statement about Jesus going to the Greeks, Jesus' opponents ironically speak of the truth when arguing against him. They ironically speak the truth, this truth that they cannot seem to grasp themselves or submit to because of their pride. Verse 43 says, "So there was a division among the people over him." Again, among the crowds, there was a division for what to think of Jesus. Moving on to verse 45, the Pharisees see that the officers, or temple guards, who they dispatched to arrest Jesus, come back empty-handed. And the officers answer, "No one ever spoke like this man." They were in awe of Jesus and sensed his authority, so they couldn't arrest him. This scene reminds me of cartoons, when the bad guy sends his henchmen to capture the good guy, but the henchmen forget their mission when they see the awesome works that the good guy is doing. And when they report back to their boss, they just shrug their shoulders and look at each other, while this boss fumes at their incompetence. The Pharisees are livid when they ask the officers, "Have you also been deceived?" They think the officers have been tricked by Jesus, just like the crowds. And as if it weren't bad enough for the Pharisees who want to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus, who was one of them, opposes their plan too. Remember, this is the Nicodemus who sought Jesus at night, but couldn't follow when Jesus was talking about the need to be born again. Here, he suggests that they follow the law and hear Jesus out before first arresting him. Like the officers, he is speaking sensibly, but the Pharisees don't want any of that. All they want to do is arrest Jesus, so they dismiss his input promptly in the last verse. While the Pharisees desired Jesus' arrest and they were set in their ways, there was division within the crowds, and we could also say that there was some division within the officers and Nicodemus on an individual level too. At least some thoughts of, we should really consider what Jesus is saying. Today, for us, let's recognize the same division that Jesus brings to our lives, the division that Jesus brings to our world. I said this many times when giving these devotionals, that Jesus presents us with two ways to live. Either we accept him as the Christ, our Lord and Savior, or we reject him as the Christ. There is no middle ground. What may seem like a small difference between accepting him and rejecting him sometimes will only grow and grow as we confront his reality more. In response to this, let's make the daily choice right now to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and submit our lives to him. And let's understand that there will be opposition from the enemy who rejects him and opposition from people living with that same view. At the same time, though, let's be in prayer for those people to turn around and to come to submit to Jesus. Let's continue to be ready to share our story about Jesus when God presents those opportunities. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize the division among so many people in this passage during the feast in John right here. And Lord, we recognize that it's the same division in our world today. And Lord, help us to just be aware of that. Help us to remember that that we made a choice to live for you and to submit to you. And Lord, we pray for those who have not made that same choice. We pray that you would be working in those around us, whether they're our family, our friends, or neighbors. And God, help us to be part of helping them to know you, helping them to come under submission of you and submission to you and to experience life to the full in you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.